It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning to you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. A big day. A couple of major events going on. Of course, we have the primary in New Hampshire. Democrats certainly hoping things go better there than they did in Iowa just about a week ago. Another important event, though, that we have to talk about right away. Just found out it's the birthday of our producer, Adam. Adam, happy birthday to you. It's a big one. It's a big one. It's like the 401, right, Adam? Yeah. Just lamenting, you know. 40, you reach that point, and you're saying, okay, 40 years in, what have I done? But, you know, you got to look forward to things. What can I do for over the next 40? So happy birthday, Adam. Adam does a great job here with Sandy every day, getting the show ready. Comes in at, what, 5:30 in the morning, bright and early. And along with our good friend Devin here is at the board today. But the big item politically in the country today is New Hampshire. And lots of talk. You're going to see lots of coverage of it during the day today. The polls there close at 7 o'clock tonight, Eastern time. And we're not likely to see the debacle that we saw in Iowa because they're kind of doing it the old-fashioned way. They're going to get a piece of paper. You go into a booth, and you write down who you want, and that's the way it's going to work. And then at 7 o'clock Eastern tonight, they start to count the ballots, and we'll find out. But by the way, there's been some counting going on. Perhaps the best-known community in the country when it comes to getting news about an election is Dixville Notch in New Hampshire. Well, they've already voted there, and they've already counted. I'm not sure how legal it is to get the count, the results out, but the results from Dixville Notch, they voted at midnight last night there, and Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, she at least won Dixville Notch, 8 votes. She gets 8 votes there. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, 4 each. Andrew Yang and Vice President Biden and Pete Buttigieg, mayor, former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and Bloomberg, they got 2 votes each, and Tulsi Gabbard and Tom Steyer got a vote each. So there you have it. You heard the first official results from New Hampshire right here on the Sandy Rios program, but it'll be interesting to see how things unfold as the day goes on. It is a key day looking at the analysis. By this time, now, Joe Biden was supposed to be doing well in New Hampshire, but it doesn't look that way according to all the pollings. And even Biden himself is kind of conceding that he's waiting for South Carolina and probably Nevada. He'll probably do well in Nevada and a little bit better in South Carolina. But I'm going to be talking to you in a few moments about some bad news out of South Carolina for the former vice president. So we'll have to wait and see. But right now, the headlines are saying, and when you look at the polls and the way the mood seems to be going as far as the Democratic camp goes, it's a race between Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. And the mainstream media likes to describe that as it's a movement of the far left being Bernie Sanders. And they keep referring to Pete Buttigieg as a moderate. Folks, he is anything but a moderate, all right? In the Democratic Party right now, you don't have moderates anymore. If you wanted to go back several decades, you might call Kennedy, former President Kennedy a moderate. Certainly compared to the field of Democrats today, he would be a moderate. But you don't have moderates in this camp at all now. And I'm including, you know, Bloomberg in that. Bloomberg's a businessman, a multi-billion dollar businessman. But he is a story to watch also, because if you've been on YouTube lately, the ads for Bloomberg are popping up everywhere. He has spent, and I think I'm right in this, over $300 million already of his own money. And they're saying he could spend a billion or $2 billion on his own campaign. He may end up buying the election. So that's another part of this whole story. But for today, New Hampshire, we're going to be watching the results. And Sanders and Buttigieg, that's kind of where the Iowa results came out. And we're just going to have to wait and see. But as I say, be very careful about making your assessment about Buttigieg being a moderate in that field. He is anything but. I read this article a few days ago by Mary Vogt. She happens to be the wife of Russell Vogt. You may remember him. Now, currently, he is the acting director of the White House's Office of Management and Budget. You might have seen the story back, I guess, be 3 years ago now. Russell Vogt is a graduate of Wheaton College. He is a born-again believer. And when he was appointed by President Trump to this position, he had to go before the Senate panel, and Bernie Sanders sat on that panel for the Democrats. And Bernie Sanders, in his questioning, focused in on a paper that Russell Vogt had written when he was a college student at Wheaton, where he stated very clearly that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You may have heard, we probably could find this if we had the time this morning, Bernie Sanders' attack against Russell Vogt for daring to say that only a belief in Jesus Christ gives you true salvation. And Bernie Sanders, at the end of that exchange, and it got very, very tense, but Russell Vogt held his place and stayed calm. Bernie Sanders declared, because Russell Vogt believed in the exclusivity of the gospel, that made him unfit for a federal government job. It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing to hear a sitting senator say that. But he said to the chairman of the committee at the time, "I believe this man, Russell Vogt, is unfit for a federal government job." That'll tell you a little bit about Bernie Sanders. But also, this article from his wife, Mary Vogt, who writes for a couple of the newspapers, she talks a little bit about Pete Buttigieg, who was asked specifically about religious liberty at a campaign rally. And his quote was, here's the quotation from Pete Buttigieg: "The right to religious freedom ends where religion is being used as an excuse to harm other people." Now, you may say it all depends on what your definition of harm is. But we have seen and experienced what the left, and how the left interprets harm these days. Think about Baronelle Stutzman, all right? Her beliefs against homosexual marriage. And that has cost her her business, her flower business, there in Washington State, because the state came after her because she wouldn't supply flowers for a homosexual wedding. Pete Buttigieg, who is a homosexual, all right? So let's be very careful. Also, Buttigieg has referred to Vice President Mike Pence as a Pharisee. He also mocked the second lady, Mike Pence's wife, who taught at a Christian school. So don't think for a moment that the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is a moderate in any way. So there you have it. That the direction of which the Democratic Party is going, the polling right now, showing Sanders and Buttigieg 1 and 2. They're both far, far left. Buttigieg, I think, gets called a moderate because he doesn't quite buy into the radical socialist agenda of Bernie Sanders. But on the more, I would say, the more important issues, like abortion, all of those things, Buttigieg is far, far, far left. So the race right now in the Democratic Party is between two far leftists. Let's be very, very clear about that. All right. Well, in typical Donald Trump style, President Trump style, guess who came to town in New Hampshire last night? It was the president. And he was there, and he was having a great time before a crowd of 12,000 people. Let's have a little listen to what President had to say to that crowd last night in New Hampshire. Cut five.
The radical left's pathetic partisan crusade has completely failed and utterly backfired. We have the highest poll numbers that we have ever had. Thank you, Nancy, very much. Thank you. As we keep on winning, Washington Democrats keep on losing their minds. They're crazy. My only problem is I'm trying to figure out who is their weakest candidate. I think they're all weak, one another. We have so much more enthusiasm than that. It's not even close. They're all fighting each other. They're all going after each other. They don't know what they're doing. They can't even count their votes.
All right.
I tell you what, that was vintage Donald Trump last night at that rally in New Hampshire. By the way, they started lining up for that rally last night in New Hampshire on Sunday. 12,000 inside, according, I guess the fire marshal counts these things, 12,000 inside, and there were still people outside. None of the Democrat candidates come even close to that. If you don't believe me, here is Jonathan Carl of ABC News. He was at that Trump rally last night. Listen to his assessment. Cut six.
Trump supporters are as fired up as I have ever seen them. I mean, this rally is in an arena that I was at just two nights ago, Saturday night, at an event that included all of the major Democratic nominees, candidates for the Democratic nomination. And we have a bigger crowd here by far just for Donald Trump than we had on Saturday for all of the Democrats.
So that's Jonathan Carl of ABC News. And if you've watched him at press briefings, he's no friend of Donald Trump. But did you hear what he had to say? Saturday night in New Hampshire, all the Democrat candidates were in that same building, and it was a smaller crowd than what President Trump was able to draw last night. That speaks volumes. And the prediction from the governor of New Hampshire, Governor Sununu, is that Trump just lost New Hampshire by a sliver back in 2016. But Governor Sununu, a Republican, and this is going to be cut number one, says he believes Trump is going to win this time in this
election. We like people that are genuine. We like people that aren't phonies, that don't just tell us one thing and do another. Whether you agree or not with this president, his policies or his successes, the fact is he says what he means and he means what he says. And there's something very genuine about that. And that's why he won in the primary handedly in 2016. Mm-hmm. That's what you're seeing with some of these other candidates on the Democrat side right now. The ones that are clearly phonies, that are placating, that are just pandering to constituents, those are the folks that are falling off. Bernie does well not because he's a progressive socialist. He does well because whether you like his views or not, he's pretty genuine about them, right? He is a socialist, and he's pretty upfront about that. And there's something very genuine. So in terms of the base, that's where in New Hampshire he's going to galvanize and why he'll likely win tonight.
I want to get to the
New Hampshire, we want our politicians to be people first.
Well, there you have it. That's Governor Sununu of New Hampshire, a Republican, predicting that Trump will win there and predicting, as far as the Democrats are concerned, that Sanders will win also. We're going to be watching that. We'll keep you up to date on the results as the day goes along and on our newscast tonight, American Family Radio News. All right, Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Today, much more ahead. We're going to hear the latest predictions from Hillary Clinton on impeachment and election and some response to that. Also, our Attorney General Bill Barr, major announcement yesterday on sanctuary cities. All that ahead on Sandy Rios in the Morning with Fred. We're back right after the break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We have our spiritual heritage tours coming up in June and September, and we still have space for you. I just finished a book, 1776 is the title of it, by David McCullough. But what it documents is that year in our country's history and the leadership of General George Washington. He took a little ragtag group of fishermen and hunters and bookstore owners and was able to stave off the British in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania and turn the War of Independence around and give our country a chance to survive. It's an amazing story and is a tribute to God's hand on our country. We're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in June and September. If you want to go with us, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for United States Senator Martha McSally. Senator McSally is a retired Air Force combat veteran representing the state of Arizona. 2 Timothy 2:15 reminds us of the qualities we look for in a leader. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Senator McSally as she represents her state and her country in the United States Senate. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
President Obama's new production company picked up its first Academy Award, winning an Oscar for a documentary called American Factory. It's the story of a shuttered General Motors plant in Ohio that was reopened by Chinese investors. The filmmakers celebrated their big night in Hollywood by quoting Karl Marx, calling for the workers of the world to unite. It's probably not that much of a surprise that the Obamas would associate themselves with Marxists. But what is surprising, according to Republican Congressman Mike Turner, is the movie does not mention the former president's role in the GM workers losing their jobs. The Ohio factory was run by a rival union to the United Auto Workers. As part of a deal with the UAW, the employees were basically put out on the street. President Obama once said he wanted to fundamentally transform our nation. Based on the Marxist leanings of his production company, I wonder if that's what he had in mind for the rest of us. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson with you today. And the big news, of course, is the primary in New Hampshire. We're watching that. And I tell you what, it's coming. This is a fascinating election, folks. This is coming down to a decision as to where the country is going to go. With regards to much bigger government, socialism, which Bernie Sanders certainly is a champion of, and really it's a matter of degrees for the other presidential candidates for the Democrats. They are really all socialists. It's just a matter of degrees. Bernie Sanders, who has the backing, by the way, of most members of the squad, like AOC and Ilhan Omar. So let's be very careful. They are far, far, far left. But, you know, there's warnings about this out there and people who are assessing it. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And the former Utah Congressman, Jason Chaffetz, was talking about this yesterday. And this is where the Democrats are headed. And you can have an analysis as to why this is, because there's a younger voting bloc that's coming up. And they've had the indoctrination of a public education system that promotes socialism, promotes this kind of thinking. So Jason Chaffetz is just warning about this in this comment. Cut number 7.
Democrats are on the precipice of nominating somebody who's not even a member of their party. He's a self-avowed Democratic socialist. And the Democrats in the House and in the Senate and at the presidential level have been going to the radical left side of the party. Think of AOC and the others. It is not palatable to the rest of America. And don't tell me that Pete Buttigieg is the moderate out there, because he's taken some of the most radical positions out there. I think Joe Biden is the more moderate, but he doesn't have a home in today's Democratic Party. The key metric, Harris, is going to be turnout, because if you look at what happened with the surge of enthusiasm that was supposed to materialize in Iowa, it didn't. They had about the same voter turnout as they did in 2016, which was less than 2008. Right. And if the Democrats can't turn out people in New Hampshire, that is not going to bode well across the country.
All right. So we'll have to wait and see. So far, the indications are there's a lot of interest in this. I want to spend a little time with this matter of socialism, because for a lot of folks, they don't quite understand it yet as to what the impact would be of socialism in this country. I was listening to an interesting interview this morning with Justin Haskins. He's with the Heartland Institute, and he's just written a book called Socialism is Evil. Socialism is Evil. And I wanted to play you a little bit of the interview that I heard this morning. Does a great job of describing exactly what he means when he says socialism is evil. Cut number 8.
Well, socialism, even if it could work, and it can't work, it's never worked anywhere, it's ever been tried ever in the history of human civilization, but even if it could work, it's deeply immoral, because at its core, it's about the putting the collective in front of the individual. And so every decision gets made by the collective. That means the individual doesn't matter. So your religious beliefs, whether you're a minority, all of those things get tossed out the window, and whatever the majority wants, the majority gets. And if that means you lose your liberty, too bad for you.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? And listen to that point very carefully. He talks about it's all about the collective. It's all about the masses. And the individual gets left behind. A couple of points. And he mentioned this religion. Remember we just talked about what Pete Buttigieg said in his interview about his religious views. I'm going to read that again. He was asked specifically about religious liberty at a campaign rally. And his quote was, "The right to religious freedom ends where religion is being used as an excuse to harm other people." Now, what is Buttigieg saying there? Just as Justin Haskins pointed out, my religious freedom, your religious freedom, when it talks about what Russell Vought talked about a few years ago when he appeared before Bernie Sanders, that he believed in the exclusivity of the gospel, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Remember what Bernie Sanders said? That disqualifies Russell Vought for a job. That's what Pete Buttigieg is talking about here. Make no mistake about it. Socialism would take religious freedom away. We enjoy that freedom in this country right now. We enjoy the freedom to go to a church that preaches the exclusivity of the gospel. We enjoy the freedom to go on the air like I'm doing right now and say homosexuality is a sin and contrary to the God of the Bible. There are countries right now where you cannot say that. Canada is one of them. You cannot condemn homosexuality on the airwaves in Canada, because they have groups out in Canada that listen to broadcasts and they make a complaint, and a radio station that allows that kind of preaching will be taken off the air. They will have their license pulled. That's what Justin Haskins is talking about when he talks about the power of the collective versus the freedoms of the individual. Let's be very clear about that. Now, Haskins in this interview this morning made another interesting point, because the comeback from the Bernie Sanders and others is that, hey, socialism is working in countries in Europe, such as Denmark. Now, listen to what he had to say in response to that. Here's Justin Haskins once again.
Sanders always talks about, look at Denmark.
Yeah.
Look at Sweden.
Right.
Look at Norway. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, those are not socialist countries. In fact, the Heritage Foundation, Cato Institute, some of the leading think tanks in the world have analyzed this, and in many respects, they're actually freer than we are here in the United States. They do have some socialized industries, and I don't think they work particularly well. Exactly right. They are not socialist economies by any stretch of the imagination. If you look at taxes, if you look at business regulations, things like that, they're actually freer than we are in many respects, or at least less socialistic than we are.
So there you have it. Justin Haskins, you know, prompts me that wanted to get that book. Socialism is Evil, works for the Heartland Institute, Justin Haskins. Good assessment there on what socialism is. It's the kind of thing that our kids will not hear in our school system today. They will not hear that. And certainly in our university system today, they will not hear what Justin Haskins just talked about. It does not work. It has failed. Socialism, true socialism, has failed everywhere where it's been tried. One of the key things that happens is that the incentive to work to better yourself is taken away. And what do you mean by that, Fred? Well, very clearly, as you become more successful, let's say you go out and start a business. As your business begins to become more successful, the government comes in and takes more and more and more of your profit. That's one way it kills that kind of initiative. But what often happens in a socialistic state is that the government comes in and takes control of industries. They do what's called nationalize them. They take control. I don't know if you heard last week the news out of California. The government, the state government, the far left-wing government in the state of California is now considering buying, taking control of Pacific Gas and Electric, probably the biggest energy utility in the country. And they're thinking about taking that over. And when that happens, competition dies and goes away when the government nationalizes an industry. But that's just one element of socialism. So on our programs here, we're going to be talking about this over the next year or so, because I do believe that's going to be one of the key elements of this election, making sure that people understand the platforms of the Bernie Sanders, of the Pete Buttigieg's, and the others. I mean, Buttigieg says he's not as radical economically as Bernie Sanders, but one of the things for his big government programs, because they all believe in that, big government programs, is that Buttigieg says he would do away with the tax breaks that President Trump gave people in after his election in 2016. He would take that away. You take away those tax breaks, that means you have less money in your wallet. That means you're not spending as much, and the whole country suffers. Watch the unemployment rate go up as businesses cut back. All right, I promised you would hear from Hillary Clinton. Well, she's out there, folks. I don't know. I don't think she's done yet. I think she would like for us to see her at the convention this summer, Democrat convention in Milwaukee, where the Democrats haven't decided for sure yet what candidate they want, and it's Hillary Clinton on the white horse riding in to save the party. I think she still believes that. Here she is. She's being interviewed on TV the other day, talking about an impeachment and election. Cut number two.
Well, I wasn't surprised because it's hard to get 67 votes to convict and remove somebody. But I was still disappointed that not more of the Republicans were willing to take the stand that Mitt Romney took. But I hope that voters and Americans of all political stripes actually pay attention and say to themselves, hey, you know, he has to be held accountable. And now the way to do that is in the election.
Well, I agree. I agree with Hillary Clinton. Sure. Let's hold President Trump accountable. Let's let the nation be the jury on President Trump. Now, there are indications of how the nation feels about President Trump. If you've seen a couple of the Gallup polls from last week, like 90% of the country is happy with the way things are going economically. his personal poll numbers, President Trump's personal poll numbers, are the highest, are better than what Barack Obama had halfway through his time in the White House. So the nation is already speaking about where they stand with President Trump. Now, in response to what Hillary Clinton had to say, Fox was doing an interview with Miranda Devine, who is a New York Post columnist. And here's her response to what Hillary Clinton had to say. Cut number three.
Well, it's typical Hillary Clinton, again, injecting herself into this. I mean, she's to blame, really, for the catastrophe that the Democrats find themselves in at the moment with unelectable candidates. She's trailing her coat all the time. I mean, it's ironic that she's there praising Mitt Romney. You hear today people talking about how wonderful on MSNBC it is that he's citing his religion. When he was running for the presidency, all they did was call his religion a cult.
They ridiculed him.
They did. And the same with Nancy Pelosi. They're saying how wonderful it is. She talks about prayer. These are people who mock anybody on the other side who's prayerful.
Now, Miranda Devine also had some things to say about Nancy Pelosi in the article that she wrote. Just want to read you a little bit about that. That moment was when the myth of the master political strategist was busted, and we saw Pelosi 79 for what she is, pretending to be classy and prayerful when she is full of petty hatreds and is incapable of holding her party together. A woman who parades her Catholicism while advocating no-holds-barred abortions, feigning to pray for the president while deriding him as sedated. Now that's what she had to say, both about Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi. And that's where the Democratic Party is, folks. And more Americans are realizing that. It is an interesting time in this country in politics, and I think this election 2020 is going to be key as to what direction the country is going to go. Now, coming up on a break, but I want to tell you one more story, because yesterday our Attorney General announced some sweeping new sanctions against left-wing sanctuary cities. These are cities that basically protect violent, illegal aliens in this country from being deported. So this is what the Attorney General Bill Barr had to say yesterday.
Immigration enforcement is an essential part of law enforcement. Unfortunately, in various jurisdictions, so-called progressive politicians are jeopardizing the public safety by putting the interests of criminal aliens before those of law-abiding citizens. They have put in place policies and laws designed to thwart the ability of federal officers to take custody of these criminals and thereby help them escape into the community. They often proudly brand their jurisdictions as sanctuaries and package their obstructive policies in idealistic and misleading rhetoric about protecting the immigrant community. Under President Trump's leadership, we have taken concrete steps to combat the dangerous and unlawful policies of so-called sanctuary jurisdictions.
There you have Attorney General Bill Barr announcing yesterday that the Justice Department is ready to get tough on these sanctuary cities. And we're talking about cities like San Francisco. We're talking about New York City, Los Angeles. I mean, California basically is a sanctuary state, Chicago, all run, by the way, by Democrats. So I think you're starting to get the picture. The distinction between the two parties is absolutely remarkable as we head into this election. And two very different viewpoints of where they want to take the country. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Would like to hear from you. How do you think the New Hampshire primary is going to go? What's the problem with Joe Biden these days? Does it scare you that we could have a President Sanders or Buttigieg and the kind of changes they would want to make to this country? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this Tuesday morning. We're right back after the break.
Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor,
how will it be seasoned? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Matt Walsh wrote a piece for the Daily Wire where he said, "The contemporary American Christian is the most open-minded person to have ever existed. He's so open-minded, you can hardly tell he's Christian or has a mind at all. He has for a long time been open to the idea that marriage isn't permanent and sex isn't meant exclusively for marriage. He's basically open to whatever notions are popular. He is open, and where he is not open, he is silent."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association. AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Bishop E. W. Jackson.
A lot of people have become convinced that somehow America is an evil nation, a racist nation, an oppressive nation, a sexist nation, blah, 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 blah.
The Awakening.
I say God bless America and thank God for America, because the whole world is a better place because America exists.
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We're all that we claim to be as a nation and more.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The world is making a mad, desperate, dangerous, and devilish rush toward making transgenderism the preferred option for sexually confused teenagers. In the process, teens are given puberty blockers that they're told are reversible. Unfortunately, that is blatantly false. Endocrinologist Dr. William Malone says puberty blockers interfere with normal bone density development as well as brain development and increase rather than cure gender dysphoria. One drug called Lupron actually causes the chemical castration of the teens who take it and is linked to a number of deaths. But 85% of teens naturally outgrow gender dysphoria by the time they're adults. God is clear that He made us male and female, and He's not confused at all about which is which, and we shouldn't be confused either.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last night, President Trump and Vice President Pence joined bereaved loved ones in witnessing the return from Afghanistan of two fallen soldiers. One family member, overcome by emotion, had to be restrained as she rushed the plane bearing the hero's remains. This searing episode will likely intensify the president's understandable desire to prevent any further U.S. losses in America's longest war, even if that means agreeing to terms in ongoing negotiations with the Taliban that will effectively surrender Afghanistan to that terrorist group responsible for killing and maiming so many of our servicemen and women. There is an alternative. Use volunteer veterans willing to help Afghanistan's military improve its combat effectiveness, and use a proven counterinsurgency strategy known as CORDS to enable its people to secure and defend their communities. Let's honor our fallen by ensuring they have not died in vain. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Going to go to our phones in just a second at 888-589-8840. You know, Frank Gaffney was just mentioning there that the president last night and the vice president were on hand at the Air Force Base in Maryland when the bodies of the two latest U.S. soldiers to die in Afghanistan were returned to this country. The president actually left the rally in New Hampshire early to be there with the families when the remains of those two brave soldiers came back home here to United States soil. Just the way he is. And the vice president was there also, I think it was well after midnight last night. So keep those families in prayer, folks. We often, not meaning so, but sometimes we grow even somewhat accustomed to hearing that one of our soldiers' lives has been taken by these terrorists in Afghanistan or Iraq, whatever the case may be. Let's not do that. Those are precious families that are associated with those soldiers. And we ought to be honoring them for their service to this country and giving the ultimate sacrifice. But the president and Vice President Pence were there on hand last night. You know, I was mentioning just before the break about the announcement yesterday from Attorney General Bill Barr on the Trump administration ready to get tough on sanctuary cities. But another aspect of this is, unfortunately, federal judges, particularly those appointed by former President Barack Obama. This is Dateline Baltimore yesterday. Federal judge in Maryland has banned immigration officials from arresting, detaining, and deporting illegal immigrants who are seeking legal status based on their marriages to U.S. citizens. Now, this is something that Barack Obama did when he's president. He basically, you have U.S. citizens, and they get together with illegal aliens. And because they express the desire to get married, this is a way for these illegal immigrants to be allowed to stay in the country legally. The president wants to stop that, but this Obama-appointed judge, U.S. District Judge George J. Hazel, put an end to that yesterday. Now, this only applies to Maryland. Unlike, remember, the president, they're fighting this, these federal judges issuing injunctions that apply to the whole country. This only applies to the one state. But this is the kind of thing that the Trump administration is up against, a lot of the policies that were put in place by the Obama administration. All right, let's go to our phones, 888-589-8840, the number to call. Let's go first to Arkansas this morning and say good morning to Joe. Joe, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, what I want to say is I wanted to comment on that clip of the man that you played that said that under socialism, all the decisions are made by the collective, and the individual has no rights and no say. Mm. And I don't think that's true. I think the reality, I think that's something that the socialists say to make the people think they're going to have some say in decision-making. Mm. But I think the reality from history is always that all the decisions are made either by the socialist dictator or yes. by one of his cronies that he appoints.
Yes.
And in reality, the collective really has no say either. For instance, here in Arkansas, you know, the collective, the majority of the people, voted 75% against homosexual marriage and to put it in the state constitution. Mm-hmm. And the socialists got an appointed appointed judge to say that we couldn't do that and struck it down.
Yep.
So that's the reality of socialism as opposed to the flowery language that they talk, you know, to appeal to the masses of the people that think they're going to have some say in things.
Absolutely.
Collective.
You're absolutely right, Joe. And it is the, and this is another aspect of socialism. And I thank Joe for bringing this up. What happens is that there's the elected officials gain great power when socialism is allowed to breed and to expand in a country. Here's what happens. They bring in policies that give the government, the leaders, more control over the collective and makes the collective more dependent on the government for their welfare. And so they keep electing those officials because they're worried that if they elect somebody else who has a more conservative viewpoint, they will lose their goodies from the federal government. So that gives the politicians at the head of a socialist government have extreme power to control the lives of the collection. And if you're outside of that, if you have a different point of view, watch out, because you'll be punished for that. All right, let's go to Ohio and say good morning to Tom. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Fred? I don't think Democrats got a chance. Nancy Pelosi rips up any chance that they had of winning anything in 2020. So, Butthead don't have a chance. Believe me, he's no one's going to elect him. He's a child. He's a puppet, and so Democrats don't have a chance. President Trump's doing everything right, and Democrats are doing everything wrong. That's what I think. And
all right.
we need to get a hold of this country and stop teaching our children Chinese when they barely can. They're not old enough to know English yet, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's in Ohio. That's happening in Ohio. They're teaching our children Chinese.
What's up with that? Yeah,
I
suppose. Thank you, Tom. I've heard of that being done in certain jurisdictions. They believe it helps kids who will be involved with international trade, that sort of thing, which is not a bad idea in itself. But I think our caller was saying, let's make sure they speak English pretty well first before we try teaching them another language. But I think knowing another language is not a bad thing in itself. Tony in Texas, good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Hey there. Good morning, sir. You know, there's so much that I'd like to talk to you about. I know that we have very little time, but I did want to mention, you know, the idea of socialism as a danger to society is a mischaracterization of what it's really all about, ultimately. It's not about giving a handful of politicians more power. It's about distributing the power amongst the people. Okay, ultimately, if you look back into history and you look at our society without socialism, okay, it was the 1880s and the 1890s when really there was just misery and despair throughout the working class. And it wasn't until FDR came in with his socialist programs, which we even have today in place. The military-industrial complex is a socialist a construct. I mean, are the roads that we drive on when we go to work, the schools, our parks, they're all socialist constructs. Our libraries, they're all socialist in nature. You're mischaracterizing what socialism is all about.
Hang on, Tony. Let me respond to you. Let me respond to you. The socialism that's being talked about by the Democratic Party today has to be taking control of the economy. That's what we're talking about here. And when you say socialism is successful, and they're trying to paint it that way, I would invite you to look at what's happening in Venezuela. Because when socialism occurs, and I don't know if you heard the interview with Justin Haskins, who's written this book, Socialism is Evil. If you understood what he was saying there, and he referenced these countries in Europe, like Denmark, who people say are socialist. No, they're not. Their economies are not socialist. There's a difference. When we're talking about socialism, we're talking about a government that takes complete control of industry. They take complete control of where taxpayers' money is going to go. They make people more dependent on the government. Now, our caller mentioned the military. Of course you have to have central control over our military. But the genius of this country has been that people can come to this country, and the reason why people want to come to the United States, one of the key reasons is you have the freedom to better yourself. That the government gets out of the way, you work hard, and you can be successful. You can supply for your family. You can create companies that create jobs for other people. You cannot do that in a socialist nation, in a true socialist nation. It doesn't happen that way. All right. We have time for a few more calls. Karen in Tennessee. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
What I would like to point out about the candidate Pete Buttigieg is the fact that as a commander-in-chief, he would have zero credibility. Mm-hmm. The Middle Eastern nations mm-hmm. who do not accept his sexual orientation.
Yeah, Karen,
they
you're exactly right.
I'm
sorry, the call, you're breaking up a little bit there. But Karen is exactly right. What she is saying is that Pete Buttigieg is an open homosexual. Just think about that for a second, folks. If he was to win the White House, you would have a man as a spouse. Stop and think about that. But what our caller was saying is that in the Middle East, primarily Islamic, They don't have any tolerance for homosexuality. So you would then have a president that does not have the respect for those countries. So how do you deal in the Middle East? How do you deal in foreign policy with countries that want nothing to do with you because you're a homosexual? So that's the point our caller was making. All right, to Illinois. Is it Anthony?
Anthony.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, just want to say, you know a lot of socialists, and I've seen them come up to Miami, and I know I've been to those countries, and it's not a good thing. These socialists come here. When they were in Venezuela, it was the liberals that wanted to get these socialists elected. Mm-hmm. As soon as those socialists get into power and get elected, these liberal whack jobs, they see the mistake they made, and guess what? They're all shot. They get shot. Cuba shot them all. Venezuela's shooting them all. They shoot the people they use to get them in office because those liberals are the ones with the big mouth that realize they made a mistake and they're not going to get to be on the king's throne like they thought they were.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned Venezuela quite often as an example of where socialism goes. And you will remember the President's State of the Union address last week where he made mention of the fact that there are efforts to correct the problems there in Venezuela. In fact, the leader, hopefully the new leader in Venezuela, will have an opportunity to make a change there. Got time for one more call, I think. Let's go to Arkansas and Tim. Go ahead, Tim.
Yes, I know that following up on the lady that had talked about Pete Buttigieg, he claims to be a Christian, but I haven't heard anyone that I know of ask him his interpretation of Romans 1:27, mm-hmm. where it says, men with men is shameful,
yes.
in the eyes of the Lord. So mm-hmm. I wonder if at some point in time he says he's a Christian, but then is he ripping that page out of his Bible? Just a thought.
Yeah, no, I think what happens, thanks, Tim, I think what happens with those individuals who are either homosexuals or support homosexuality, what you get from them when you quote verses like in Romans chapter 1 is, well, that was Paul's opinion way back then, 2,000 years ago, and it really doesn't apply today. These are people who allow themselves the right to define Christianity according to their own personal values. And there's all kinds of people out there across America today that are doing that with Christianity. They just say that... much of the Bible, well, it's written thousands of years ago. We're more sophisticated today. We take a different approach. We believe God is tolerant of us as we are. They say God is a loving God, therefore he accepts me because, and homosexuals say this, because he made me this way. And that is a falsehood. It is false teaching, and unfortunately, it's being taught in many of our churches today. All right, been great to be with you. As I was mentioning earlier, keep an eye on American Family Radio today, onenewsnow.com. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening in New Hampshire. Our newscast this evening will keep you up to date. Going to be interesting to see what the results are. The polling seems to show Sanders will have a good night, but we'll also want to see how Buttigieg does and who will be number three, and of course, what happens with former Vice President Joe Biden. Great to be with you. Much more great programming here on American Family Radio all day long. Have yourself a blessed day and be a blessing to someone else. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.